When the day of Pentecost came, estaban todos juntos en el mismo lugar. Suddenly, a sound came from heaven, tamquam advenienti spiritus vehementis, and filled the house ubi erant sedentes. And there appeared something, quita cama ndimas a moto, that separated and came to rest, yakila moja wow. And all were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with diverse tongues, because God's Spirit will make them so they can. In the last days, God says, Echeo apatu panumatus mu epipasan sarka, and they will prophesy. Hoi huioi humon, kai hai fugateres humon. Even on my servants, gagam hal abadim va'al ha-shipachot, I will pour out my spirit on those days. Und sie werden vesagen, et il prophetiseron, Baliwa obunabi, and they will prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, el nombre del Señor, will be saved. God speaks. God wants to be known. God wants us to know him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God speaks so that we might know him. Just placing a little emphasis on that. Yeah, he knows us on the phone. He's calling. God speaks not through phones, but through us, human beings. Messy, creative, surprising, sinful, finite, foolish human beings. And God speaks through human beings through human languages. This is what we confess each week when we say we believe in the Holy Spirit who has spoken through the prophets. Even as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost today, in this second week of our series on the third article of the Creed, as we celebrate the person and the work of God the Holy Spirit, I suspect more than one of us here who confess we believe also have some doubts. Perhaps we don't fully trust the Holy Spirit. I know in my church context growing up, I received the message. I don't know that they would have ever said it this way, but basically, don't trust the Holy Spirit, trust the Bible. Others of us might struggle with the Bible because it can be a little hard to understand. And we've seen the way, or we've had it used against us, we've seen the way Scripture has been abused and used to justify whatever we believe, whatever anyone says. Find a Scripture passage. We've seen it used that way. Maybe we don't trust the Bible. Maybe we don't trust human beings as prophets. Surely, there's just a lot of human stuff reflected in Scripture. We just need to clear out of the way in order to access the pure truth of faith, right? Well, my message today is quite simple, at least to say. We can trust God the Holy Spirit. And because we can trust God the Holy Spirit, we can trust the Bible as well. Because God wants us to know him. And because of that, he has spoken through the prophets for us and for our salvation. We can trust the Holy Spirit. So first, we can trust the Holy Spirit reliably and effectively to communicate God's word. I really wanted to split that infinitive, and I didn't. We can trust the Holy Spirit reliably and effectively to communicate God's word. Let's start with reliably. I remember I had a bedtime conversation with my kids. It's always when faith stuff comes up, a few months ago. Almost always right now, their questions of faith are wrestling with, where is Grandpa? Eric's dad that passed away a couple years ago. Will we see Pops again? And you know, yes, we're talking about, you know, the second coming and the new heavens and the new earth. And then one of my kids asked, well, how do we know that Jesus will come again? Well, the Bible teaches us that he will. Well, how do we know we can trust the Bible? This is 9 o'clock at night, mind the way. But this is a great question at whatever time of day. And I'm sure a number of us have asked it as well. Because the Bible, as I said, is a weird and messy book. It is not even G-rated. It's not. It isn't easy to read straight through from beginning to end. Like, if you've done that in a year, you're like, I read the Bible in a year, all of it. It's a hard thing to do. And it takes some work to bridge the gap between our time and theirs. It is written in ancient languages. It reflects ancient cultures and people groups otherwise lost to history, written and compiled over the course of hundreds of years. Couldn't God have just dropped down something complete for us? Here's the book. Well, he could have. He kind of did that with the Ten Commandments, right? God could have done that, but he didn't. What if this is actually the book God intended for us to have? What if the very messiness of it communicates something real and true, even good? N.T. Wright puts it this way. Again and again, in the biblical story itself, we see that God speaks through human agents, anointed and equipped by the Holy Spirit. And this is itself an expression of his love, because he does not will simply to come into the world in a blinding flash of light and obliterate all opposition. He wants to reveal himself meaningfully within the space-time universe, not just passing by it tangentially, but revealing himself in judgment and in mercy in a way which will save people. In other words, out of love, God did not override our humanity in order to deliver the scriptures from above in a divine language that you have to learn. God wants to be known by us, not just known about, but known. And by the mystery of God, by the Holy Spirit, the Bible, even in all of its messiness, all of its human wrestling, tells a true story, the true story, about who God is and what God has done. And most of all, it points to Jesus. Because Jesus, after all, is the Word of God. The Bible can truly be called God's Word written, which is how the 39 Articles puts it, God's Word written, because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of God speaking through the prophets. So therefore, it's God's Word to the prophets written down. But Jesus is the fullest expression of God's personal communication to us. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Again, God speaks even through the messiness and the variety of it. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So Jesus is both the perfect prophet, the one who speaks accurately the words of God, Father, who is in him, and he is himself the very word of God, the expression of God, and the very thing to which all the prophets, all the scriptures point reliably. This we know. So the word of God is not some abstract doctrine. It's not even a set of books that's sort of separate from God himself, but it is God's personal communication to us. It is always connected to God himself, made known to us through the scriptures reliably, because God's trustworthy. We can trust the Holy Spirit because we can trust God. Made known to us also in our own hearts and lives through the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out in the church. Word and Spirit, despite what my upbringing taught me somehow, are not separate. They always go together. We see this in the passage from Acts. The Holy Spirit falls upon the apostles, men and women alike. That very act fulfills the prophecy of the Spirit through the prophet Joel. Again, this, we can trust the Spirit to communicate the word. The Spirit speaks to Joel. The Spirit comes, as the Spirit said the Spirit would. And the Spirit doesn't just fall on them and then everyone just magically, poof, comes to faith. The Spirit inspires them to speak about Jesus, the Word about the Word. That's the gospel. And to speak in such a way that the good news can be heard in the heart language of those who are present. Think about that. I haven't traveled outside of the country in a long time. And most of the places you go, you know, you can find English. spoken. But I can imagine what it's like to be in a faraway place, maybe with one other person who speaks your language, hearing it everywhere, and then hearing, cutting through that crowd, a word that is in your language. Maybe not even just your language, but your dialect. Think about that. In your dialect, your heart language. Amazing. And that word spoken in their language cuts them to the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is word and spirit working together. And now we get to that effectively part. Because God's word actually does something through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to imagine for a second that Debbie Richards is the queen of the sanctuary. Yeah. Let's imagine there's not bylaws, there's not constitution and canons, there's just the queen of the sanctuary. This is, okay, you're going to laugh at this because I have this in my notes, not planning to make you the queen. What if Debbie were to speak, from now on, the law shall be that everyone who comes into the sanctuary must take their shoes off. This Debbie would actually say that. Imagine Debbie, the queen, says that. Her act of speaking has now made it so. That is the law, because she has authority as a queen of the sanctuary. Now, we may not all obey it. We might cheat and keep our socks on. But her saying the thing made it the rule, because that's authority. God's word has that kind of authority. When God speaks, his word is to be obeyed and followed, because he's the king of the universe. Now imagine Debbie says, the walls shall be purple, yellow. The walls shall be yellow. Nothing's going to happen, even if she's the queen of the sanctuary, because no human being has the power to turn the walls yellow or purple just by speaking. But God does. Let there be light, and there was light. God's word has both authority and power. God's word can do the thing God says for those who believe. Jesus says, walk, take up your mat, walk. Jesus says, be healed. We are healed. Your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. When I speak words of absolution or Ethan in the service, my words do nothing. I do not have power to forgive sins. It's the same thing when I pray for God to sanctify the gifts of the bread and the wine. My words have no power in themselves, but God's word does through the Holy Spirit. God's word has power in the world to actually bring about the thing it speaks of for those who believe, to make the walls yellow, to save and recreate and heal and redeem. God speaks. God wants to be known. God wants us to know him. And therefore, we can trust the Holy Spirit to reliably and effectively communicate God's word. I realize I split the infinitive there. I knew you would catch that. The first one was a gift of love. The second was me. We can trust the Holy Spirit to communicate God's word. Second, we can trust the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truth of God's word. Really? You read a commentary, you read another commentary, you get totally different ideas. There are so many fights right now about what is true. Perhaps especially in the church. We look through church history, we see so many grievous errors and disagreements. Can we really take Jesus at his word that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you? Did he mean it? Was he naive? Let's pause just for a second to remember that the only reason we have a record of the words and deeds of Jesus is because the men and women who were eyewitnesses did indeed remember and record them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. I remember one of the things I managed to say to my kid in that moment was, you know what? We have manuscripts, really early ones and really late ones, and we can see, oh, there's so much consistency here. We can actually rely on this stuff. God wants us to know Jesus the Word. He made sure the eyewitnesses would write it all down. He has preserved the truth of our faith through all these centuries later. I also, as I think about this leading us into truth and all the disagreements and about Scripture, I find it really helpful to remember that Scripture itself is honest about how human beings misuse and use Scripture. In the Old Testament, you know, beware of false prophets, people who are going to claim to be speaking for God but who aren't. Here's how to recognize them. Jesus and the Pharisees. The problem was not that they were too passionate about the Scriptures, but that they'd gotten it wrong, and they were misusing the Scriptures in a way that propped up their own power. The New Testament, they look back at the Scriptures and say, oh, the Holy Spirit's on the Gentiles. Did we miss something? Yes, we did, but it's there. If the Holy Spirit did indeed inspire and speak to and through the prophets of both Testaments, just as the Holy Spirit's doing on the day of Pentecost, we can trust the Holy Spirit to teach us as we submit to the Word and to the Spirit about how to interpret the things the Spirit spoke in the first place. We can actually listen to the Spirit together. This is part of what the church was doing when we put the creeds together to begin with, right? Listening to the Spirit through the Word. Here it is. I think part of the grace and the messiness of the Bible is that in some ways it, like Jesus, is kind of both human and divine. The part of the grace is that we need to rely on God to interpret it and understand it. It's almost like a living parable, a written parable. God doesn't want to just give us a book as a substitute for relationship with him, but so we might know him for real. God wants us to know him. God wants us to know what is true. Your word is truth. And therefore, he sends us the Holy Spirit to lead us. And honestly, I think Scripture is more clear than we often think. It's just hard. It's just hard. And human beings are really good at justifying ourselves. And we have an enemy who delights in corrupting and undermining what is good. And an enemy that has no creative power, the enemy is not coming up with a new set of Scriptures, has the power to deceive and degrade and to steal away from us what is good. That is what the enemy does. That's what we see in the world. You might have heard of the Azusa Street Revival, a major revival that took place in L.A. in the early 20th century. It's considered the start of the Pentecostal movement and the Charismatic Revival. It was a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and lives were changed and really changed the face of Christianity both here and around the world. I think Pentecostalism is the fastest growing Christian denomination globally at the moment. Well, this Azusa Street Revival was led by William J. Seymour, an African-American preacher, partially blind, and the son of freed slaves. One description of the revival describes it like this. On the night of April 9th, 1906, first one and then six others in this meeting began to speak in tongues and shout out loud, praising God, so loudly that the neighborhood was alerted. The news spread. The city was stirred. Crowds gathered. Services were moved outside to accommodate the crowds who came from all around. People fell down as they approached and attributed it to God. People were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the sick were said to be healed. Sounds kind of like Acts. The radical community and revival lasted for several years, but it didn't last forever. And do you know what ended the revival? Conflicts over race. Specifically, white Christians objecting to the radical racial mixing happening at these revivals, the leveling effect of the Holy Spirit, as well as the inclusion of the poor. And those categories overlapped some. Sin and culture have powerful pulls on our hearts and our lives, even when God's Word and Holy Spirit are speaking clearly. William J. Seymour himself came to believe that the clearest evidence of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but a community in which racial barriers dissolved. That is part of the truth to which the Holy Spirit leads us. The opposite of Babel. Not what we might call the hegemony of one culture or gender or race. Let's all stay here. Let's all have the same language. Let's all just make a name for ourselves. It's not that. It also doesn't totally erase the difference. Look at all the people groups named in Pentecost, the specific people groups. It doesn't erase difference. But it does level the hierarchies we use to distinguish ourselves from one another. And it transcends difference. Only the Spirit can do that. In Pentecost, they're not gathered all in to speak or understand Aramaic, but the Holy Spirit comes in the mother tongue of those gathered from every point in the compass. This new community, this radical new order of the kingdom, that is part of the truth into which the Holy Spirit leads us. And oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into that truth, to help us overcome barriers of class. Notice the listing of female and male slaves. They too shall prophesy, men and women alike, young and old, everything in between. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we need you to make us the kind of community in which your variety and diversity that were your idea are made known. Come, Holy Spirit, we cannot do this on our own. God speaks. God wants us to know him. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into truth. Will we follow? Third and last, we can trust the Holy Spirit to empower God's people to live and proclaim God's word. God speaks. God wants to be known. God speaks so that he can be known. And God speaks and works through human beings, just as he always has. And that's now us. We are those charged with handing down the faith that has been delivered to us, the word of Christ spoken through the Spirit. We are those now charged with telling and living the story of who God is and what God has done. The story truly told in the scriptures. The story truly interpreted and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. This is a good gift God has given to his church, this story. This authority and power to proclaim the reign of God. The sacraments in which word and spirit both tell the story and make it real in our lives. This is a good gift. This is good news. And I think many of us have lost faith in the power of the Spirit to proclaim that good news to those we meet. Or perhaps lost confidence that the church can give any credible witness in this world. I get that. I get that. But just for a minute, take a look at Peter in Acts. Peter, who not long before cut off the servant's ear with his sword. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times and ran away. Peter, who took his eyes off Jesus and sank beneath the waves. Willie James Jennings writes, "Before the Spirit came, Peter had little to say. But when the Spirit comes, the word comes too." Jennings writes, "Who could believe such a remarkable word coming from such unremarkable witnesses? There would be no chance of success unless the Spirit of the living God breathed on their witness. Thankfully, now the Spirit has appeared, living and breathing on and through unlikely voices, voices just like ours, voices just like ours. What if we believed? What if we trusted in the power of the Spirit to form our lives and our words according to the word for witness? What if we believed? What if I believed?" God speaks. He has spoken through the prophets. God wants to be known. The very Spirit who has spoken through the prophets, the very Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, God has poured out this same Spirit on all flesh in these last days in which we live. So I close with these words from Paul, through whom the Spirit has also spoken. He writes, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Make me, mold me, use me, sanctify me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.